out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 17th of September 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I was going to do a bit of a Brexit update today, but at the time of recording, the Supreme Court are still deciding on whether it was legal for Boris Johnson to use an entirely normal legal procedure to suspend Parliament for 4 days. But I have got some rather interesting news stories for you to talk about instead. This first one is about gender bias. I know we talk about this rather a lot, but it is an important point. What a lot of these people are doing by trying not to conform to gender bias with children is actually confusing the children in itself, and is actually doing all the things that you would expect one to do to confuse a child about their gender and encourage them to be transgender when they're older, which is absolutely dreadful. It's child abuse. A couple are refusing to reveal the sex of their 17-month-old baby to their close family because they want to protect them from unconscious gender bias. Mother, Hobbit Humphrey, 38, and father, Jake England Johns, 35, who live on a houseboat in Keynsham near Bath, said they are currently dressing 17-month-old Anoush in both boys' and girls' clothes. The married couple, both members of the Extinction Rebellion Climate Action Group, are also asking friends and family to address the toddler using the gender-neutral pronouns they and them. One of the child's grandparents said they only found out the baby's gender after 11 months when changing a nappy. What do they mean by unconscious gender bias with a child? There are differences between boys and girls. I mean, just for one, boys stand up to wee. Is it going to be an unconscious gender bias to try and teach somebody to stand up when they go to the toilet? It's just common sense. Miss Humphrey and Mr. England Johns appeared on BBC One's Inside Out last night to explain their decision was the only way to stop people treating their child differently based on gender. Children should be treated differently based on gender. They do different things. Boys want to do boy things and girls want to do girl things. And if you try to deliberately confuse them in that, then you are going to confuse their sense of identity, confuse their sense of who they are, and they're going to be very confused adults and possibly turn out to be transgender. They said the baby, whose name was changed to Charlie in the programme, will be allowed to decide at a later age on its gender and preferred pronouns. And can you imagine it? Imagine if this is a little boy and they've been dressing the little boy in girl's clothes and he realises that he's been dressed in girl's clothes. He's going to be absolutely furious. Absolutely furious. And think of the damage that is going to cause him. I would hope that this child, when he grows up, he sues the hell out of his parents for doing this to him. Mr. England John said gender neutral refers to us trying to behave neutrally towards the child rather than trying to make them neutral. We're not trying to make them be anything. We just want them to be themselves. But this is just it. If they behave neutrally towards the child, if they dress them in girls' clothes, say, because they're a boy, then they are going to make them confused about their gender. It's not going to encourage them to be neutral. It's not going to encourage them to be themselves. It's going to make them very, very confused about who they are. Hobbit Humphrey added, "So much of gender bias is unconscious. When I got pregnant, we were having a discussion about how we were going to mitigate the unconscious bias. And we figured that the only way we could do that was just to not tell people, to use they and them pronouns for as long as we can and create this little bubble for our baby to be who they are." I mean, just imagine that. If they keep the child at home, dressing them in gender-neutral clothes, giving them dollies to play with if it's a little boy, and then when the child gets to 5 years old and he goes out to nursery and realizes what they've done to him, that would be absolutely crushing for the poor child. Eventually, they will get told by somebody that pink is only for girls and blue is only for boys, and you can't play with that because you are a particular sex. That's still a thing that happens these days. We're just trying to protect Anoush from that. Well, what they're actually doing is ensuring that when he finds that out, it's going to totally blow his mind. And it's going to confuse him about his gender. It's going to confuse him about his identity. It's going to confuse him about the parents that up until then, I guess he probably thinks that they love him. And yet, why would they be dressing him up to make the other children poke fun at him? Why would they be dressing him up as a little girl when he is a little boy? I mean, this is absolutely horrific. It's like trying to brainwash children. It's like trying to use psychological torture on them in the misplaced belief that what they are doing is actually positive. The couple, who are both circus performers, said their decision to dress Anoush in boys' and girls' clothes has led to some pretty confused looks from old ladies in the park. Yes, I bet. I bet they can't believe that this child hasn't been taken away from these parents for doing this to them. Grandmother Camille, 64, Ms. Humphrey's mother, didn't discover the child's gender for 11 months when she changed a nappy. She said, "It was a struggle, but as with any learning over time, it became embedded and they became they." Again, just to where it's brought up here that she changed the child's nappy. What if it is a boy? Then are they not going to teach them to stand up to go to the loo? Is the child going to make a mess if he tries to stand up? I mean, all sorts of differences that there are between boys and girls. He will be mocked and ridiculed by the group that he's with if he is a boy and he's been dressed as a girl. He's going to resent that as well. He may, if they put him to play with girls, trying to pretend that he's a girl, then where he's got that extra strength and he's got that boisterous behavior, those girls could end up being hurt possibly and quite innocently just because boys are more boisterous than girls. They're going to actually retard this child's development. Mr. England Johns added, "We are quite good now at holding space for people's discomfort in us, saying, actually, we don't tell anyone. We're not telling anyone for now. We're just letting Anoush be a baby." They're not letting Anoush be a baby. They're trying to project this modern idea onto the baby that gender is a social construct when it isn't. In fact, they're trying to project onto him that sex is a social construct. What they're actually talking about here is the sex of the child, not the gender. They're not referring to him as a boy or a girl or telling anyone. You know, this isn't about these gender ideas. And if they say that gender is just a social construct that comes later, then why can't they just call him what sex that he is? Anoush is the most lovely little human. They're into everything. They're really active. Just a delight. Well, that actually dehumanizes them. If you can't say that something is a he or a she. I mean, I've known parents that get upset if you refer to their baby as it. It's either a he or a her. I mean, with some animals, people could get offense if you call it an it, if you actually know what sex the animal is. And they're just calling their baby a little human instead of he or she. Well, where is the affection in that? Miss Humphrey said, "It was tricky at first when not only were we new parents, but also new parents who had the problem of getting people upset about our baby being gender neutral. It's not the baby that's gender neutral, though, is it? It's the parents that are insisting on projecting that onto their baby. But in the end, it has proven to be a really beautiful thing, and we've had a lot of important conversations from it. It has had the effect we wanted of letting our baby develop its own interests regardless of gender. No, they're depriving the child from developing his own interests by refusing to give him toys that have been developed over thousands of years to be the best things for little boys to play with in order for them to grow properly, for their mind to grow properly, for their imagination to grow properly. They're retarding this child's growth. So, for example, while they love having a doll's tea party every morning, they also are really fascinated by motorbikes and machinery. Yes, and they won't be any good at either of those because they haven't actually concentrated on one or the other. This is the other issue there. And the child's years are extremely formative on how they are as an adult and how they will grow up. And if you start dressing children in the opposite gender's clothes and chastising them for behaving in a non-gender neutral way, if you start chastising a little boy for behaving like a little boy and dressing him in little girl's clothes, that little boy is going to be extremely confused and is likely going to end up with body dysmorphia and believing that they might be the opposite gender. And is that what they want for their child? Do they want their child to hate his own body and wish to mutilate it? Is that really what they want? This is how these transgenders are created. And in the name of trying to make transgenders feel less unwanted in society or less standing out so much in society, what they are actually doing is creating more of them with these stupid gender-neutral ideas. Eventually, once our baby is old enough, they can obviously decide for themselves what gender they want to be, but for now we just want them to be able to grow up in their own little bubble, where it will be the children around that child that will decide what gender this child is. And again, that is going to really confuse them. If the children around him think that he's a boy and he's actually really a little girl, then again, he's going to think that he's a boy when he's not. He's a girl because the children around him think that. It is so important that with children that the people around them are thinking the same thing that they are. You want them to be reaffirmed in the body that they've got. You want them to be happy in the body that they've got. What they're doing, they're deliberately causing these neuroses and these syndromes and these problems, these mental psychological problems that are so common these days. In 2018, Paloma Faith, the British singer, said she was raising her child gender neutral, and Hollywood actress Kate Hudson has followed suit. Russell Brand, the comedian turned political activist, has also previously said he would raise his two daughters gender neutral. And I'll lay a bet now that each one of those children will grow up to be confused about their gender. And it wouldn't surprise me if children start suing their parents because of doing this to them. When you're young, you're a little boy, you like to do boys' things. It'd be horrific if you'd been doing girls' things without knowing it, or you were wearing girls' clothes without knowing it, and it was your friends that told you that. I mean, that would be absolutely soul-crushing for a small child. And that's the situation that these crazy parents are setting up for the child that they should be doing all they possibly can for to ensure that they have a good formative years that will lead them to be a contented, happy adult. And let's move on to another news story that I have here. And this is about the government getting involved in, again, trying to socially engineer parts of society. What they're trying to do here is socially engineer Muslims into becoming progressive, moderate Muslims. A series of websites intended to cater to young Muslims, which promoted modern progressive ideas, have been revealed as being secretly funded by the British government. Super Sisters, a website that published inspiring and empowering content to social media platforms targeted at young Muslim women was actually a part of a Home Office counter-extremism initiative administered by the Building a Stronger Britain Together program. So what was pretending to be something that was actually religious was run by the government. I guess they don't see any problem with this, especially not since we have Jews within the church pretending to be Christians and directing how Christians should be. Strangely enough, Christians don't seem to object to that, but I think somehow Muslims might object to the secular government pretending to be Muslims and pretending to be giving out Islamic advice to Muslim females. British newspaper The Times has revealed that many who interacted with its content were angered by the revelations about its true nature, with one quoted as saying, "This is truly shocking and disturbing and feels entirely like a violation." A former member of staff for the group, who was not aware of the funding origin for her employer, described herself as feeling like a female Muslim puppet. I mean, this is really cack-handed, isn't it? I mean, what it goes to show is that this idea of there being moderate Muslims and progressive Muslims, it doesn't actually come from within Islam itself, does it? It comes from the government, where they're trying to push this idea that there is this alternative Islam that is tolerant of transsexuals and homosexuals and doesn't view non-Muslims as infidels that should be enslaved. The whole idea of moderate Islam is a state-sanctioned idea, and this makes it clear. And of course, the government also funds these supposed moderate Muslim madrasas. The money doesn't come from Saudi Arabia for that. According to the report, the website was launched after UK resident Shamima Begum, Amira Abazi, and Khadiza Sultana, yes, her name really is Sultana, travelled to join the Islamic State, becoming so-called jihadi brides. The website was intended to provide alternative narratives for young Muslims and to reduce the number of people who had attitudes, beliefs, and feelings that oppose shared values. Only they weren't alternative narratives for young Muslims, were they? They were totally fake narratives that the government dreamt up, thinking that that would influence them. The Super Sisters funding revelations follow separate revelations in August over another government-funded social media network designed to influence young Muslims. Originally reported by Middle East Eye and subsequently confirmed to the BBC by the British government, the Home Office had been funding another niche interest network, Woke, through the Office for Security and Counter-Terrorism. Well, I do wonder whether they've got any nationalist websites that the government might be funding. I don't think I've actually come across any, but if they're doing this with Muslims, you would expect to see possible nationalist ones popping up over the next year or so that might also be government funded, trying to get government ideas out there. I think it would be much harder for the government to try to subvert nationalism, though, with these progressive ideas. I think their tactics for that rely more upon people joining nationalist groups and then causing infighting between them. The Woke group, which disseminated content through Facebook and Instagram, was obviously targeted at young Muslims and promoted feminism, but also encouraged the Islamic headscarf as an item of empowerment. Of course, this is contradicting ideas that we see with liberalism, where on the one hand they will promote feminism, they'll promote women going out to work, women not having children, women not raising families, and then on the other hand they will be encouraging the wearing of the headscarf and the burqa. I mean, we recently had this drive within schools to get British girls to all wear an Islamic headscarf for the day, which is basically an extension of the burqa and the niqab, while over there in Iran, they're encouraging the women over there not to wear their Islamic headscarves. It's like the bad Muslims over in Iran are good Muslims over here in Britain. They're all Muslims, And it's wrong to try and direct the way that they think they shouldn't be in our countries. That's the be all and end of it. They shouldn't be in our countries. And because they are in our countries, the government obviously thinks that they need to get in there and start changing the way that they think because of that. And that's going to just rile them up all the more, as these employees said that they felt like being Muslim puppets. I mean, Muslims are going to be very insulted by this, I think. The report followed a series of strongly worded claims that at times appeared to border on conspiracy theory concerning the British government engaging in programs to control public perceptions and reactions to major events. And we did a podcast about this, or mentioned it in a podcast. It might have been Area in Britannia, about some of these instances and some of these groups, organizations that are wholly funded by the Home Office that jump into action as soon as there is any kind of Islamic terrorist attack. Labeled a covert propaganda campaign by a former Guardian columnist writing for the Middle East Eye, which is itself allegedly funded by the government of Qatar, claims included the government channeling anger into anodyne emotionalism after terror attacks to forestall feelings of anger and an anti-extremism program targeted at Muslim women. One of the instances of this were all those pictures of a Muslim female in a burqa that was made up from the Union Jack. Also, after one of these terrorist attacks, they arranged for 100 imams to arrive on the scene the next day for there to be a candlelit vigil. I mean, it's almost like event organizers. Whenever there's a terrorist attack, these event organizers jump into action. They ship in all these moderate Muslims to appear to be mourning for the white people that have been killed. And they put up all these posters in the area with things like coexist on them and no room for hate and all that sort of thing. Examples given of this orchestrated, controlled spontaneity include pre-planned vigils, interfaith events, and posters after terror atrocities, according to the claims. They've probably got somebody that coordinates the lighting on the Eiffel Tower as well, or lighting on landmarks. I'm sure they've got some group that is responsible for that, because they do that as well after every terrorist attack. And this isn't a conspiracy theory. I mean, I remember this article, it did stack up. It showed you these organizations and the government admitting that they were funding them. That the British government has indeed been funding some programs aimed at shaping the views of young Muslims in the United Kingdom may be seen to add some credence to the MEE allegations. I mean, one of the worst of those allegations was that actually, when Darren Osborne stole a van and ran a Muslim over outside that mosque in London, we were told that this Muslim guy, this brave mullah, stepped in and stopped the other Muslims there from giving him a good pasting when he was on the ground. And apparently that was all made up. And this brave mullah was actually shipped in because he was better at speaking to the camera. And in actual fact, it was a group of young Muslims that held the guy down. And this story about this moderate hero imam was completely made up. And that came from the young Muslims that were actually involved. Well, I think I've got enough time for one final news story here. Again, it's a bit of a funny one, this one, really. Boots has been accused of racism for putting security tags on hair products for black customers, but leaving ones aimed at white people untagged. I wonder why that could be. Why could it possibly be that a store is putting security tags on one particular product but not on others? It must be because the store are racist, of course. It can't possibly be that those products are the ones most likely to be stolen, so that's why they need a security tag on them. Obviously, the most obvious reason for why this is happening has been ignored, and makeup artist Natasha Wright was upset to see the devices, designed to prevent theft, in a store on Wembley High Road in northwest London. Footage posted by Natasha on social media shows that rows of expensive hair care products aimed at white women were untagged, but cost up to £10. Well, that's obviously because white women are unlikely to steal expensive hair care products. I mean, this is a shop. They're not going to be doing this unless they have to, because they're losing money. They're quite obviously, there is a lot of theft that's going on, and it's all black hair care products, which obviously means that it's Negroes that are doing the theft. These brands include Aussie and L'Oreal hair products. In comparison, on the nearby shelf dedicated to black hair care, the products had small security strips attached to them, even though they were priced lower at just £5.50. Of course, that's because Negroes will steal things even if they don't cost very much. I mean, if you look at some of the stores that are in the bad neighborhoods over there in America, I mean, even snack bars will have security strips on them, and they'll have bulletproof glass there just for people that are buying a packet of Skittles. In the video, Natasha can be heard saying, "Boots, what are you trying to say? If you think we're going to be coming into your store stealing, don't bother to stock it." Well, if they didn't bother to stock it, then Boots would be accused of being racist, wouldn't they? This Negress would be saying, "Look how racist Boots are. They don't have any black hair care products in stock. They only want to serve white people." I mean, she can't have this both ways, can she? Either they're going to put black hair care products out, and then if they get stolen, they're going to put security tabs on them, or they're not going to cater to Negroes at all. Continuing, she said, "Stick to what you know best, but don't insult us, Boots. To be made to feel like second-class citizens is an absolute travesty." Well, how about you stop stealing black hair care products? I mean, I'm quite sure that if the black hair care products weren't actually going missing, then Boots wouldn't need to put security tags on them, would they? Speaking about the incident, she told The Sun, "We are being made to feel like second-class citizens. Shame on you, Boots." I mean, what is her problem with this? Was she going in there expecting to steal some of these hair care products herself? I mean, she's obviously standing up for the people that do wish to steal them by saying that these security strips should be taken off. Martin James of Consumer Group Resolver said, "It's 2019, and in these modern times, it should be one rule for all, not for some." In response, Boots said, "To prevent theft, our colleagues add security tags to the products they believe are being stolen." I mean, what are they saying there? Are they saying that it might just be make-believe? It might just be that they're fantasizing that those products were there one minute and disappeared the next? He said, "They do this regardless of what the product is, the cost of it, or which aisle they are on." Which just proves that this isn't racism. This proves that this is actually caused by Negroes being more likely to steal, which this female, this Negro female that put this video online just doesn't want to face up to, even though it's the truth. And more people are waking up to the truth, and I've no doubt that most people, when reading that article, will realize the truth of it for themselves. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Yeager. God bless and hail victory.